God leads every one of us. Every one of us doesn't go without His nudging, without Him coming and prompting us to do whatever's necessary to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to live with Him, to abide with Him, because He'll never leave us nor forsake us even unto the end of the earth. I love Christmas. I think the good news about Christmas is it's something that can exist in your heart year round, year after year after year after year. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise God. How many of you love your pastor? How many of you are thinking about it? I especially wanted to note the ladies that held up their hand several days ago. I'm always, one of the things that Debbie likes to do, she likes to laugh with me or sometimes laugh at me. And so the other day, and I've always got something funny to tell her or say, and she's so gracious to laugh at stuff that sometimes really is pretty stupid. And so the other day she said, Wes, on the way home from church today, she said, I heard a joke. And she said, I want you to, this is a funny joke. And so she gets all propped up and sitting facing me. She said, what would have happened if instead of three wise men, there would have been three wise women? I said, well, I'm not sure. She said, well, first of all, they wouldn't have had to stop for directions. When they got there, they would have cleaned the place up. They would have made sure that baby was delivered properly. And they would have brought a casserole. I said, well, honey, that's all well and good, but I'm trying to figure out how in the world they could find three wise women. That's exactly what she did. And then she slugged me. And I told my daughters the other night, we were out eating and Debbie was with us, and I told them that story and Lindsay was there and Josiah was there and JC and Brandy were there. And so I got to that part where I'm just trying to figure out where you find three, which I know is a horrible joke, and you got to understand, God didn't make me do that. But Lindsay was sitting close to me, and she hit me. And if the others could have sat closer, they would have as well. But how many of you guys like me know that all women are wise women, and we're thankful for them? Amen? And please don't be mad at me. Well, that side's smiling. I was glad. You know, I really do believe I've got a good message for us today. And you're going to be glad you came. You're going to be glad you came. And number one, you're going to be glad you came because you get to see me. And you know, one of the things I'm going to bring out today, that one of the gifts that God gives the body of Christ, among other several ministry gifts, is the pastor, the office of a pastor. And sometimes people fail to receive from a pastor because they begin to kind of bring him into the human arena. And you got to understand that God's speaking about a spiritual gift. And so if you're receiving from a pastor based upon how you feel about him, how you feel about him emotionally sometimes is irrelevant. How you believe in the fact that he is a gift from God, that means everything. You can receive and tap into that gift, and it'll help you. Amen. Years ago, I went to a ministry, most of you know I graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center. And there was a season in my life where I didn't go back for homecoming. I didn't go back for this or that. And I was kind of a stand back, be critical of everything going on. And the Lord kind of got on me. And so I said, well, I'm going to go back. And I'm going to go back to homecoming. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I am going to receive from everything that's said there from the pulpit. I'm believing it's from you. And I'm going to receive from the gift that somehow I've shut out of my life. And what was really kind of interesting when I got there, I remember this as if it were just yesterday, but that particular homecoming to me. There was just moments in it where I just felt like I'd been newly born again. The refreshing word that came, the ministry of the Spirit that happened in my life, it was just second, it was just awesome. And so you got to understand that with God, all things are new every morning if we just determine to walk in that. And so I'm encouraging today, we're going to talk about, I did have just one word, gift, for this morning. And then I added to that in my notes, the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, we made mention of, Brandon mentioned that Christmas is past us. But the fact of it is, the spirit of Christmas never leaves us. And the particular season that we have with Christmas and celebrating it is more, I believe, for outreach to those people that don't know Jesus, those people that haven't been touched by His love. And what a great time it is to really help draw people into that. So I wanted to kind of encourage you to just make sure that you do what's necessary to stir up that gift that's within you. And to just keep the spirit of Christmas going, and I'll give you some, I think, some encouragement along those lines. And I want you to live a life that going in, you know, we're coming into a new year. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of 2022. And I hear the Lord say often, 2022, a year anew for you. And He wasn't just speaking to me, but He's speaking to the churches that I minister into and the things and the people that I speak. I believe that God wants to renew our lives every morning. His mercy is new. How often? Every morning. So even His mercy is new every morning. And so God wants this new year. So, well, yeah, I know we made it through this year. Listen, you made it through 2020. You made it through 2021. Here comes 2022. How about just believing God that for you all things are going to be anew? And we go into it with confidence in that God will oversee, make sure that His word comes to pass in your life, that you will come behind and know good thing, that you will live a life, bless God, that puts a smile on your face. And I believe God wants that for all of us. And if you can believe that, say amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, today we bless you. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit of the living God that's here to lead us and guide us into all truth. And God, every one of us need to hear from you. There's none of us here today that know so much that we don't need to hear from you. We each and every one need a word from you. So Holy Spirit, we're saying, have your way in this place. Minister life unto us. Give us a word in due season. And Father, I thank you that as I call upon the greater one that indwells me, I call upon him that he would think through my mind and speak through my lips the oracles of God, the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you anoint each of our ears to hear accurately that which is spoken. And that we not be distracted by the cares of this world, because they're not in a lot of ways going to go away unless we have your help in putting them underfoot by the authority that you've given us. So Father, we thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. When you talk about a gift, we understand that Jesus Christ is the gift of eternal life. And there's no gift greater than that gift. That gift is the answer to all mankind, humankind's needs, wants, desires, whatever it may be. You know, the Bible does admonish us in the book of Psalms. It says that we are delight ourselves in the Lord and He'll give us the desires of our heart. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But sometimes our desires go astray because we're not working with God enough. We're not spending our time with God. We're just deciding what we want and say, God, here's what we're going to do. You bless it. How about you find out what God wants you to do and it already will be blessed. And you just have to bite into it by faith. You have to begin to walk by faith. What is God leading you to do? God leads every one of us. Every one of us doesn't go without His nudging, without Him coming and prompting us to do whatever's necessary to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to live with Him, to abide with Him, because He'll never leave us nor forsake us even unto the end of the earth. Genesis 3, beginning in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. According to our likeness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth and every creep. You know, that's, I read this, and it's been so long since I've read this publicly. Over all the earth and over every creeping, God has dominion over creeps. Amen. Because it goes on to say, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Humankind, human beings, were created in the image of God. God created you and me and every person ever born of a woman. He created you in his image. He created you to look like him. And there's one human being that started that trend of professing that while he was on this earth, when the apostles asked him, said, Lord, would you show us the Father? And Jesus said to him, have you been with me so long that you don't know? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God looks like and you want to know what God does, begin to read in the Gospels what Jesus Christ did and said while he's on this earth, and you'll know how God feels about things and believes in things and what God wants in people's lives. God created you to look like him, to act like him, to love like him, to give like him. He created you in his image. You're not lacking. And if you get up in the morning and say, well, I just don't feel good about myself, then you're not looking at you the way God looks at you. Getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. God so loves you. And it's amazing to me that Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth and the universes, you know, scientists think there's probably a lot more than just one universe. When this thing started expanding, when God spoke it into existence, it has not quit expanding since that began. It's been going, 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 going. Only God knows how big this thing is. But I know what God creates never becomes greater than him. Amen. I had somebody once that got mad at me and said, well, you just act like you're God. I said, well, first of all, you know I'm not. But I'll try everything I can do to try to act like my Father. So if you're going to accuse me of acting like God, talking like God, he's the one that told me that he created me in his image. That means you act like him. But over in the book of Ephesians says that we're to be imitators of God. That means act like him. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Pastor West, I love you. God made humankind, made male and female. He created them. Then he told them, you have dominion. You know, we lose sight of sometimes of the dominion we have here on this earth. But that dominion is best exercised when you're staying close to him. When you're walking in love. Dominion is not to rule over people. It's to subdue the kingdom of darkness and put it in its place. In other words, you enforce the defeat of the enemy with the dominion that God has given you. God has never intended that we be overcome by the power of darkness. Everything that God has done since the fall of man is he began to work things out so that man could again be established in the same dominion that Adam walked in the beginning. I don't know how long that was for Adam. It was a little bit short-lived probably. You think, how could a person that's living in a perfect environment, absolutely lacking nothing, had no desires but just to be with God? The Bible says God walked daily with Adam and Eve, and the cool of the day would come. I mean, that was such an incredible place. And then we think, man fell in that environment. So don't ever kid yourself. You can fail in any environment if you take your eyes off the Word. That's a pretty good statement right there. The Word of God is your final authority. May I just say something? And you know, I'm just trying to help out Tim because I know he's coming on in a couple months. If I were Tim, this is what I'd be saying. But I remember listening to a ministry of a worldwide ministry talk to somebody that had been going to his school, and this lady that was in his school had been really involved in the culture, the woke culture. I mean, she loved same-sex marriages. She fought for them. She fought for the abortion of babies. She fought for people that literally had perverted lifestyles that the country was trying to exalt in our society. And he asked her one day, he said something that was pretty telling when in his conversation with her, how could you being a Christian and being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, how could you ever be involved with those type of movements? And the statement that she gave was telling. And she said to him, called him by name, she said, I loved God, but I did not love His Word. In other words, the Word was not final authority to her. We think sometimes because of the compassion that Christians are called to walk in, that we should love everybody. We do love everybody. We just don't love what everybody does at times. That's a great statement. And it's a true statement. Oh, I love God. Yeah, you love God. How much? Never see you in church. And God's Word says that in the final days, you should be gathering even more than you do and even more than you have. If I were Tim, this is what I'd be saying. I just love me. I love the freedom the Lord gives me when I tell the truth. And you say, well, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir here. Yeah, but there's people watching online. That ought to be in church. God's not enough. If He's not important enough for you to go to church on a regular basis, then He's not important to you at all. I just said, Tim paid me no money to say any of these kind of things. But see, it's the truth, brothers. And you guys, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's the truth that sets people free. The reason people aren't hungry for God is because they're not hungry for God. Listen, I was telling Madison, I said, I started eating at Thanksgiving. I don't think I've quit. And I got to quit eating the stuff I've been eating. But you know, when we're sitting around, we're getting ready for Christmas, and the girls are cooking stuff, and I see sugar cookies, and I see big old pieces, not big, but about that thick a piece with a layer of solid fudge on top with a layer of peanut butter stuff on the bottom. And my body's going, yeah, we need some of that. And then there's other things that come out, and cheese balls. I mean, it's enough to make you pray in tongues. But you can stir yourself up to be hungry for physical food. When's the last time you stirred yourself up to be hungry for the Word of God? Where it becomes your final authority. I had people get mad at me over the years, and just not just this last election, but last seemed to be a bit more amplified this last election than most, but I'm not here to divide. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, when He came, He caused division between families. And we think because we're walking in Christ, we should never have a problem in the church. We never should think different. Listen, we think differently if we don't. If you know what the Word of God says and you ignore it, you've got a problem. Amen. Well, Pastor, we gotta love people. Listen, we love people, we don't love the sin they're committing. The Bible said Jesus came in the world to save sinners, didn't come in to save their sin. He came in to put it underfoot. That's good preaching, Pastor Wes. So God said in the beginning, when it just He and Jesus and the Holy Spirit said, I need to figure out something. I don't know that God ever says anything, because God knows what he's going to do. We're the people that figure things out sometimes. We need to figure out that God's word's final authority in our life. And I'm saying that lovingly. Listen, I'm not trying to get on you guys. Matter of fact, we could let you be dismissed and you're going to be okay going out there, because you have a hunger for the word. You have a hunger to be in church. You have, if you're here for that reason. And, and there's reasons that people aren't here today, I understand. But sometimes we just get too lax in our excuses for why we're not there. But I do know that God wants us to walk in a way that literally we understand that we have freedom to choose. In the beginning, when God said, you know, I'm going to create a man, and I'm going to, and I know, this is just me talking out loud, and you know, I'm not trying to be God, but I'm just, and he said, I know that man's going to fail, and I got to figure out a way to get him back to me. And Jesus goes, I'm your guy. I'm your guy. Not God the Father. God the Father says, you know, I can't interrupt in that now. Holy Spirit says, neither can I. And Jesus says, I'm the one. And then somehow the Holy Spirit took Jesus, put him in the form of a seed, and then planted him into the womb of a woman. I don't understand that, but thank God it happened. And then God said, not only am I going to create man, but I'm going to give him a free will. He can choose to accept me, or he can choose to reject me. Ooh. Well, if I were God, I'd just make everybody. How loving would that be? I mean, even like your kids, when you demand stuff out of them, sometimes you'll get pushback from them because of how you demand stuff. You know, like me, I'm thinking, when my kids are growing up, I'm thinking, you don't stop that, I'm going to beateth your butteth. Made that sound King James, so it doesn't sound too bad. But I'm just saying, we love our kids enough to know, listen, we want, our kids can't, they're not going to serve God because we tell them to. The problem, most of them are going to serve God because we showed them how. That's, again, a really good statement. Amen. That's one thing my mom Thelma did. By golly, she took me to church. She'd get me up in the morning, drag me out of bed, and I'd go up and I'd complain, and my dad would say, you do what your mom tells you. That's the best thing my dad probably told me to do of all things. She said, you do what your mom's telling you to do. I said, well, Dad, I want to stay home with you and lay on the couch. She said, no, you're going with your mom. Back then, my dad smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, so our house is like a chimney. Open door, smoke went out. But at least she took me to church. And you don't go to church, I think you go to church because you're willing to go. And you heard me say about Mary, the reason Mary ended up in the position that she ended up in is because she was willing for God to do his purpose and fulfill his purpose in her and through her. And so whenever we come to church, whenever we do what God wants us to, I know there's more to life as a believer than coming to church. But coming to church, we get equipped to go out and do the work of the ministry. We should be looking for opportunities to minister out in the community. And I'm saying that as lovingly as I can, because the enemy is having a heyday with the lost. One of my goals in 2022, this may sound different to you, but one of my goals in 2022 is to say, Jesus, multiply times more than I have the C word coming out of my mouth called COVID. We hear so many people talking about COVID. I run into people, well, how are you doing? Well, you know, I'm just COVID, I'm frightened. I said, well, Jesus is Lord. Thank God for the word of God. We're talking about that on the way to church, and Lindsay is talking about people going through stuff. Just thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to give it place in my life. No one speak. And the people have gone through about what that doesn't mean their lack of faith. There's just an enemy out there. You just keep up your guard. People don't get COVID because God's mad at them. COVID comes because it's a demonic thing. Well, Men create it. No, the enemy created it. Men just followed him. Amen. But then God said, not only am I going to give man a way back, but I'm going to offer them a message that will change their life forever. And he used a man by the name of Paul to do it. He said, I'm going to give Paul a message of grace, so that you can come back to me washed by the blood of Jesus, and you can come back to me with an undeserved grace, unmerited grace, and you can come to me of your own free will because of grace. And the blood of Jesus will wash those people from all their sin, past, present, and future. That doesn't mean we have license to go into the future thinking, well, I'm going to sin. That's not good thinking. Grace is the empowerment. Now, it took me a long time to understand this, but I really think I've got it to a certain extent. You never get fully, but I think I got it. But grace is the empowerment to walk free from sin and its effects. Amen? So God wants you to have a free will. And then God says, I want to bless them. I want to bless them in the city, bless them in the field. I want to bless them coming and going. I want them so blessed, and then over in the New Testament, it gets in there, I want them so blessed that they're going to make the Jews jealous. Have you ever had a Jew come up to you and say, dear God, I wish I had what you had? God blesses his people. And he's not through blessing the Jewish nation. He's not through blessing the church. And he's not through blessing those of us who fill the church buildings. We are the church. We're blessed coming on. You should say, I walk in the blessing of God every day of my life. You are looking in the mirror and say, you are a blessed person by God. And how can anybody curse whom God has blessed? We see example of that in the Old Testament. You've heard me say this before. When I saw that God spoke through a donkey, I just thought, boy, there's hope for me. And when God speaks through donkeys, he even spoke the truth. God wants the truth released so that we can be set free. This is going totally different than what I thought it would. But anyhow. And God says, you know what? Not only am I going to create man, but I'm going to put my name in him. I'm going to put that word in him. The word's exalted even above the name. On the inside of us, we're called Christian. We're Christians. That means Christ is in you. The mystery of the church is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of the church. That's God working in and through us on a regular basis, and knowing that God's not going to quit, we have to make the determination that we are not going to give. Jesus said, I'm going to go, Father, you send me, I'm willing to die for those people so that you can have a family. And the Bible tells us in Malachi that the Lord says when a man and woman come together, God says, I bring them together so that there can be a godly offspring. Everything God's done is about family. Family is important to God. Is it any surprise to any of us that the world's gone out of bounds trying to redefine family, try to redefine church, try to redefine marriage, tries to redefine everything, but the world is full, its father is the father of liars. And we sit back because of Christians, because we just, well, we're nice, but I think we can be bold. We can be bold as a lion. We can be bold as a lion in Judah. Because we have a gift living on the inside of us, the gift of eternal life. God, and here's the thing about it is, God washed us in the blood of the Lamb before the foundation of the earth. Think about that. Revelation 13:8. Before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb of God was slain on our behalf. God made provision. He made provision for you and for me. He, Jesus, is the Lamb slain before the foundation. You know how God spoke things and then it came to pass? That's what happened in heaven with Jesus being the Lamb slain before the foundation. Father, look no further. I'm the one. I willingly give myself to be born in the humans that I create. And then those that were created by him rejected him. He said, well, I'd never done that. Yes, you would have. Because we're just like them. People aren't much different than different. Times are different. But we have the same belief system. Maybe some of you wouldn't, but you understand what I'm saying. Some people just don't want to be responsible. Let's go on a little bit further. We'll keep on going. Let's read Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. This is another scripture that's born or talked a little bit about and quite a bit about during Christmas at times. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Glory to God. Then you jump over to Ephesians chapter 5. Everybody say Ephesians. And beginning in verse 5, or verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God. Who are we to be imitators of? As dear children. And then it goes on to say, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We are to be imitators of God. And the Bible says the government will be upon his shoulder. Could that possibly mean that the government, we should help it? It should kind of be on our shoulders as well? Because we are part of the body of Christ. Part of the reason we're in a mess that we're in this country, because the body of Christ has reclused to just a building. And they've not allowed themselves to be used in political sphere. There are some, thank God, that are out there fighting a good fight of faith. But they need our prayer, they need our support, and we need to be involved. We need to get on the school boards. We need to get on the city council. We need to get on county commission. We need to run for state legislature. We need to get involved with what's going on, because I'm telling you, the woke culture is wrong. That's the enemy's, that's his response to an awakening of God. And it's right out of the pit of hell. I don't care what anybody says. You show me where the woke movement has anything of God in it. Be imitators of God. Act like we're wonderful people. What a wonderful life we have. Act like you've got the spirit of counsel on the inside of you, because you do. Act like God will speak to you. Act like you're a mighty person. Now, we're not God, I understand that, but we're in his image. We've been created in his image. We're to imitate God. If you want to imitate God, see what God is doing, go to the Gospels and look and see what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing or what he didn't do. But I'm telling you, when Jesus walked on this earth, he took authority over all the power of the enemy. And then he also said, now I'm going to give it to you. Now you go in my name and you cast out devils. You take authority over the devil. You take up serpents and bless God, get them out of your way. Serpents has a lot to do with the poisonous venom of bad doctrine. We can't just bite into everything. We make sure it lines up with the Word of God. And you guys do. You're pretty good at that. But we know people out there that they will tell you that they believe something and they're Christians and they're so far from the truth. I've heard Christians say, well-meaning, when you talk about abortion, so it's just a little blob. Holy mackerel. Why do you think the enemy went so hard after Jesus? Why do you think he still continues that? He's going after anything that's born in the image of God. Amen. This is good, Pastor West. Keep it up. Jesus prayed an incredible prayer. And so many times the church world today, all they do is just parrot it. What Jesus prayed when the disciples, the apostles asked him, said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, well, here's how you do it. Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let me ask you a question. Just that part. We don't have to go any further in the Lord's Prayer. But he says, Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now listen to me, because you can get this to help you. Is there any sickness in heaven? Any disease in heaven? Any COVID in heaven? Any hate in heaven? Any jealousy in heaven? Well, if we're going to imitate God, then we're going to have to be purveyors, if you will, of the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. We have to put ourselves in a position by the empowerment of His grace to just simply imitate God on this earth. If you want to know what God looks like, look at me. I might get letters on that one, but that doesn't mean I'm perfect like He is. That's why I need a Savior every day of my life. He's the one that keeps you along the straight and narrow by the Holy Spirit. What does God look like? He looks like His people who were created in His image. It's getting quiet here in this Pentecostal church. Help me out here a little bit. I mean, is this as bad as it looks out there? I mean, y'all okay with me? That's what Jesus prayed. And I guarantee you, when Jesus prays, it comes to pass. My Father, I recognize you're in heaven. Hallowed, precious, glorified is the name of God. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. See, that just to me begs to the solution of when people say, well, you're just one of those prosperity preachers. Well, I am. Why aren't you? God did not come so that I'd be poverty stricken. He didn't send His only begotten Son that we could be broke the rest of our lives. Yeah, but Pastor, you know what? In the last several years, and I wasn't going to say this, but I'll say it. I've given probably in the last four or five, at least the last 4 years, I know I've given over $100,000. And I'm still living pretty good. I had an accountant call me that does my taxes. He says, do you have a record of all this giving? I said, yes. He said, wow. I like it when people look at my giving and go, wow. I don't know that God goes, wow. He just says, thank you for doing what I ask you to do. Do you ever going into a new year say, you know, God, I'm going to give a significant seed at the start, because this is what I want to make come the end of the year 2022. Give God some seed to work with. I've already figured it out how much I'm giving. And it's a significant seed. It pretty much empties my savings account. I can just hear my kids, well, there goes my inheritance. You know, if God says it, there would be a lot more left in inheritance. Because the Bible says that a wise man will leave an inheritance for his children's children. My children, sucks for them, but the grandkids, boy, that looks good for. I'm not saying all that to get any type. I mean, I'm just glad. I remember telling God, I said, God, I want to, at one time in the history of my pastoring here at the church, I want to be the biggest giver in the church. Not because I want to impress anybody, but I just want to get there. I'm just telling you, there's so much out there that we could live so much better. And here's just a good one. This is not original with me, I don't think, but I believe this. You give to live. All your job does is give you money to give to live. So many people are locked into how much their job, how about giving seed enough that gets you beyond that? Give your tithe and give an offering, seed for God to work with. Amen. It's good for you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And God says, you know what? Even after that, Jesus said, and we will have authority over the evil one. Not going to maybe have it, but we have it. God's answer to humankind when they were down and out is he sent us a baby who happened to be the Messiah. And that Messiah grew up and became our sacrifice. He was birthed into this earth so you and I could be birthed into heaven. I didn't really intend for it to be this serious this morning. But I think it's a good word. I think we just need to understand that God is on our side. There's no debt in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. We start allowing ourselves to have prosperity defined by a greedy, selfish, church-minded, religious-minded person. And remember, the bottom line is, what does the Word say? Jesus Christ took upon himself our poverty so that we could take upon ourselves his riches. I don't believe in taking poverty vows. Not when Jesus died that I would be free from poverty. I don't care how much the church world glamorizes that. You do not take poverty vows as a believer. You just don't. So you've got to be willing to be God in action. You know, you got to be willing to maybe become the hands of God. You need to be the belief system of God here on this earth, because there's a lot of people who don't believe in God. They're staying away by the numbers. Jesus says in John 14, verses 12 through 14, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do. Everybody say, will he do? And he says, the reason is because I go to the Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, everybody say anything. What does anything mean to you? Anything. What does it mean to you? He just asks you, when you ask for something, don't ask to consume it upon your own lust. He didn't say not to have it in your life, but don't let it be something you lust after. Because that just means you're misdirecting your love for something else other than God. I think God wants you to have a nice car. I think he wants you to have a nice house. I think he wants you to have a really nice house. I think he wants you to wear really nice clothes. I think he wants you to have a lot of money left over when the end of the month comes. I think he wants to bless you so much that you have to give to every good work and charitable donation, you still have money left over. I don't think God created any of us to be living at cheapo station. Well, I'm just being cheap for Jesus. Well, no, you're just being ignorant. You want me to give everything, or sometimes people, well, I tell you what, you just go ahead and give everything and I'll just hold on to mine. Well, listen, you can't outgive God. If you give under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you give based upon the Word of God, God is going to give you increase beyond your ability to get it. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing next year transpire, because I'm going to be a blessed man. I already am a blessed man. I'm already rich. Jesus died to make me rich. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, Pastor West. Keep it up. I think I will. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7-16, just talking about gifts. However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to the people, to his people. Notice that it says, he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature children, immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, and that whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Again, we make our living by our giving. Our job just helps us, give us seed to sow. Amen. That's the truth. We have a lot of people that are thronging to get to the Lord, but really, not so many of them are coming in touch with him. Remember that story in the Bible? When that woman with the issue of blood kept saying, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment. And she finally got there and got her hand on him, and the power, the virtue of God flowed out of him. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciple said, Lord, you're being thronged with this crowd and you're asking, who touched me? Yep. Because something went out of me. And there was a bunch of people thronging him. They kind of believed in him, but they weren't willing to commit their life to him. She laid down her life, and you may not understand this, but just the fact that she was within the walls of the city and she had an illness. She was, by law, Levitical law, when she was to be found in the city with that sickness and disease, she would be stoned to death. So she was willing to lay everything down to come in touch with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to come in touch with the Lord. Not just be a part of the thronging crowd, but we come in touch with the Lord. That's what we do when we praise and worship the Lord. There's somebody sitting right next to you. You could be praising and worshiping the Lord and just feel the presence of God. And they're going, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When's this going to get over? Maybe you ought to quit being a thronger. Don't know if that's a word, but you know me, I like to make up words. Our lives are much better when we just simply stay close to Jesus. They're not perfect. Listen, we all have our challenges. I understand that. But God does not want us in any means to come behind in anything that he's provided for us through his Son, Jesus. And if you agree with that, say amen. I'm going to close here pretty quickly. But I want to read Psalm 40, beginning in verse 8. This is a New Living Translation. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I have told all your people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. Some of us are afraid to speak out. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Listen, a faithful man will speak to the mountains of opposition. There's usually a demonic activity behind opposition that you're facing as a believer. Sometimes it can just be a wrong decision on your part, but a lot of times the enemy is setting you up for failure because he's trying to get you to believe a lie and keep your mouth shut or begin to confess that you have everything the world has to offer rather than everything God's offered. Well, life just keeps getting worse and worse. You ought to quit saying that. The Bible does say that in the end times, things are going to wax worse and worse. What does it say about things that are going to happen in the end times? They're going to wax worse and worse. But God doesn't leave us hanging there. He says, but grace will abound how much more? Much more. Much more. The empowerment to do what God's called and created you to be. Next year should be the most prosperous year of your life. I don't care what happens in the banking institution. I don't care what happens on Wall Street. I don't care. The provision we get from God is, it's not just based up one year to the next. It's just, He blessed us and blessed God. We ought to say we're blessed coming and going. You are not going to go broke if you hang out with Jesus. Matter of fact, you're going to increase. Glory to God. A faithful man, he'll speak to the mountains of opposition. If we're imitating God, we'll call the things that are not as though they are. Rather than saying I'm broke all the time, rather than saying I just don't think I'm ever going to get over this, rather than, why not just say what the Word says about your situation? Don't be like Job's wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? Well, thank you, honey. Don't be Lot's wife. God gave a way of deliverance for her. And He told them on the way out. And see, so many of us, we need to learn this lesson. When you start walking with God, refuse to look back. Because the Bible says she looked back. Lot's wife did. She looked back. And that word meant she looked back with long, longing, affection toward what she was leaving. And it cost her her life. We're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we are imitating God, and the Bible tells us to be imitators of Him in Ephesians 5, I read that verse of Scripture to you. What else does it mean? That means we act like Him, we talk like Him. I know my son probably doesn't think this, but I've had people tell me, say, man, he talks and his mannerism are just like yours. I'm sorry, Seth. But to me, in some ways, that's a compliment. Maybe the negative stuff, not so much. But I was so perfect, I don't know how he could step in the negative. But he's like me. His voice sounds just like him. JC doesn't sound like him. Sounds like her mom. But if we're going to be imitators of God, why not let's make the determination to do it going into 2022? Walk with God. Talk with God. Encourage people that don't come on a regular basis. You need to get in church. Why? Well, because God sent us a gift. And most people that stay home and watch online, they're distracted. You say, how do you know, Pastor? I've been home before and watched online. You get distracted. Well, let me just go throw in a load of clothes while I'm waiting to do. You know, he's going to be praying for a long time, dear God, and I'll just manage the service on my own. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. One more scripture. Everybody say one more. Say, please, Pastor, one more scripture. See, again, we're not voting. Mark 11, 22, 25. What a great way to end a message with this passage of Scripture. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, isn't it amazing that Jesus, the truth personified, has to tell you, hey, I'm telling you the truth here. That's, he's just emphasizing how important this is. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone who are holding a grudge against you, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. I've often heard this, and I just want to just reiterate this to those of you, just remind you. When people tell you, Pastor, that doesn't work for me, I look at you and say, it's working right now. You say, well, Pastor, it's not working for me. Yeah, it's working for you right now. You're having what you say. You're telling me it doesn't work for you. And God will honor your words. So if this is not happening for you, then this would be a great passage of scripture for you and me to meditate on a regular basis. Begin to just say about our life what God says about it. I'm blessed coming and going. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. All that I set my hand into prospers. For I'm like a tree planted by rivers of water, bearing forth fruit in my season. This is my season. You say, but what? Quit using that conjunction so much. But, well, what if the Word of God is really true? And it is. You just meditate on this until it becomes a part of you. Probably one of the best scriptures I ever heard is Mark 11:23. When I came to Hayes, when I first started pastoring in Ulysses, Kansas, we called our church there Faith Fellowship. I don't know if that was a good thing to do or not. Because pretty soon people begin to expect that you walk by faith. Just like this church in its origin was called Joy Fellowship. There's days it wasn't so joyful. You had to speak those words by faith. Well, what makes it so joyful? The joy of the Lord. Not perfect people, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord can come into imperfect people and help perfect some things in their life. And the joy of the Lord can become your strength. And with God, all things then becomes possible to him or her that believes. Amen? And we don't quit believing because we've gotten older, do we, Tom? Do we, Randy? Did I start with the oldest? I'm pretty close to him. How old are you, Tom? How old are you? I mean, it's 74. You're soon to be another three-fourths of a year, and you'll be... Ooh, hi, okay. Well, you are old. How old are you, Randy? I'm not asking any women how old they are. I already messed up with them talking about the wise women. Every woman here is a wise woman. I just want you to know. I bless you as a wise person. But the thing about it is, the older I get, I don't get more embittered about things. I get more in love with God. That's pretty amazing to me. See, God knows you. But do you know him intimately? That's one of my want-tos going into 2022, is to become more intimate with God. I want to hear his voice more clearly. I want to walk more closely with him than I ever have. I want to talk a whole lot more about Jesus than what this world is trying to throw at us. Because Jesus is the answer. Amen. He's the gift that does really and truly keep on giving. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you glad you came? Well, I am too. It's a lot more fun to preach to people than just empty chairs. God wants you so blessed that the people will say, how are you doing that? Well, I'm just walking with God. You cannot come into contact with God and not be blessed more. You stay close to the world, you're going to be blessed less. I'm not saying God's taking away the blessing. I just think the world has a way of short-circuiting the blessing of God, if you will. He's called you to walk in love when you don't feel like it. He's called you to love the unlovely. If all you do is love the people that are easy to love, you've done nothing, the Bible says. That means you got to love me for your benefit. But I love you. Been a great time for somebody to say, I love you too, Pastor. Amen. Father, I bless these people. I bless them going and coming in the name of Jesus, just like your word says, that they be a people that come behind and no good thing. And Father, we're not a people that willingly give place to the things of this world. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Poverty, sickness, death, lack, and destruction. We are redeemed from it. And we thank you for it. And we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. That name which is above every name. We love it. We give place to it. And we just simply say, thank you, Father, for giving us your only begotten Son. So that you, each of us, as we believe on him, would be partakers of everlasting life. For now and forever. Amen and amen. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen and amen. Well, you are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great afternoon, great week. We'll see you. There's still no church Wednesday. Next Sunday, we will be here.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.